VentureCast.
On this episode of Missing the Point, we'll discuss how the sports world has once again been affected after the shooting of another black man in Minneapolis, and if we think anything will really change this time, considering this is not the first time we've talked about the subject on this show. We'll also get into our main topic, that of the National Basketball Association. We'll talk about our biggest disappointments throughout the NBA, and talk about if the Celtics are finally starting to turn around their season, or if they're just the same team that we've seen the last couple of years with better players. And who needs to go if the Celtics fail miserably again in the playoffs this year? We're looking at you, Horseshoes. This is Missing the Point, episode 53. But it's all relative.
Welcome into Missing the Point. I am your host, Michael Marcangelo, as always, joined by the real BK, Bob Kelly, Rayshon Buchanan, and Craig D'Alessandro, and today, it's our basketball show. We're talking all things NBA, all things Boston Celtics. It's going to be one of those feel-good shows, but before we get to the antics that we usually do, I want to open up with the topic that has swept the world. Brooklyn Nets beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 127-97, playing their game that was postponed from yesterday due to another shooting of a police officer, of an African-American man, Dante Wright, in Minnesota. So I want to open it up and talk about this again. I said it pre-show. I guess it was good. I'll say it again. I can't sing, but I'm not tone deaf. We need to talk about this. So Rayshon, what's your reaction not only to the events, but how about the way that all major sporting leagues came together around it and postponed most games that are around that area?
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks for, you know, coming to me first, man. But no, I think, you know, it's a shame that Minnesota is becoming the epicenter of these type of events. So the stuff that happened with George Floyd, obviously a few years back, the stuff that happened with Philando Castile. Well, let me call it what it is, the murderings. The murders that took place, you know, with those two gentlemen, you know, that lost their lives over senseless acts by law enforcement. It's a shame that it continues to happen, you know. You know, Bobby, he'll get into it when he speaks, but, you know, it's just crazy that, like I said, obviously we're in 2021 and we could still, you know, make those quote unquote mistakes because they know exactly what they're doing. And it's like, it's disheartening, it's disappointing, it's whatever negative word you want to put with it. And I'm just tired. And honestly, to say as a black man in America, I cannot say that I feel safe walking out of my house at any given time. Yes, I'm in Massachusetts where it's more liberal and things of that nature, but I can't say if I'm walking out that it's for certain that I'm coming back home, you know, and, you know, back in one piece, so to speak. So that's a heavy burden to bear. And, you know, I don't take that lightly. And, you know, I'm glad that, you know, that the three of you don't take that lightly. And, you know, also I know Joe and Dave feel the same way, but they're not with us tonight, but it's just crazy. But as far as the sporting leagues taking that stance, so to speak, I feel like they essentially had to. You know, I think to still keep playing yesterday would have shown them being tone deaf. So speaking to what you just alluded to, even in baseball, did the same thing. You know, the Red Sox and Twins games were taken down.
The NHL did the same thing, too.
So, the Minnesota Wild. Yeah. So it's like you just had to. One, because it's like you can't be tone deaf. But then two, you just don't know what would have happened had, you know, I'm assuming most of those arenas are downtown. And if those people, you know, people out there would have been protesting, whether it was peacefully or, you know, chose to riot. You know, as we know, Dr. Martin Luther King said it best, that the riot is a language of the unheard. So that could have happened last night. Hell, it could still happen. You know, we don't know. But like I say, I guess it was a nice small gesture. I mean, wearing a t-shirt at this moment doesn't do anything. I don't know if we're going to get back to what they did in the bubble, whereas, you know, players are sitting out games and choosing to boycott a game. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, we talked about that all the way back in like episode 3, which is crazy. But even from episode 3 now to going past 50 episodes, we're still talking about the same shit. So going in from 2020 into 2021, when we talked about Jacob Blake in that episode, now we're talking about, you know, we're talking about Dante Wright, and nothing has changed. So that's the part that's disappointing the most, but I mean, it is what it is, but I, at the end of the day, I know they had to do that in order to, I guess, in order to save face. So I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Bobby, your reaction, I think Rayshon hit it on the head, right? They did what they had to do. It would look really bad to play those games downtown in an area that has just gone through what it's gone through. Call it what it is, right? Another senseless killing of what, for all intents and purposes, what should have just been a routine traffic stop or a warrant being served, right? And I'm not on the soapbox. I'm not trying to preach anything to anybody. This is a sports podcast for sure. And I'm on the fundamental belief, and I promise I'll kick it over to you, that like I like my sports to stay separate from everything else, right? Unless things are just categorically wrong. Unless they have to take a stand about something that is so wrong that you just can't ignore it. And this is that. It's still that, as Rayshon said. A year later, you know, we'll call it what it is, decades, centuries later, it's still the unjust treatment of those that don't look like you and me. So, Bobby, like your reaction to everything that happened, and how the major sports leagues handled it, was it posturing? Did they do the right thing?
So, yeah, they absolutely did. I just want to go back to what Rayshon was saying. It really is unbelievable that in 2021 we're still talking about this. Like he said, our third episode ever was about the basketball protest due to a senseless killing when we first started this podcast, and here we are, episode 40? We're like. One off, 42, 43, whatever it is.
No, and we're in the 50s now, dude.
We're 50s. And we're still here talking about it. And it's unbelievable to me that cops are held to a lower standard, in my opinion, than any other employment I've ever been a part of. If people were making the same mistakes over and over and over and over, and then you make that mistake, you're done. You know what I mean? You're fired. You're done. And these cops are sitting here still doing these things to this day, and half of them barely face any problems. So it's unbelievable to me that we're still in this place. You said you can't sing, but you're not tone deaf. Seems like most, I don't want to say most, a lot of cops have seemed to be tone deaf from what we've seen in the public right now, and it's unbelievable to me. But going to sports, they have to do it this way. You know what I mean? Sometimes it gets to a point where something's bigger than sports, and that's what this is. It's getting to a point where sports are so minuscule compared to what's happening in the world. It's unbelievable that this still is happening to this day. But yeah, they handled it right, 100%.
Yeah, and again, these are our opinions. We're not trying to tell you how to feel. But again, what's right is right. What's wrong is wrong. What happened was wrong. That's just a fact. And hopefully for the very few times justice will actually be served and we can start moving in a direction that is opposite of the one that we're currently in. But unless anyone else has anything to add to this, I think we should really start talking a little bit about sports. I enjoy pissing Rayshon off about basketball. That's why I agreed to do the basketball podcast. So I think that's about as seamless as a transition as we can get. We're sitting here, it's Tuesday, April 13th. The Eastern Conference is pretty much what we thought it would be, minus the Celtics being absolutely terrible. So I'm going to give you a rundown, right? The Philadelphia 76ers come into the number one seed, 37-17. Doc is doing, again, what we thought he would do. We'll talk a little bit about that. Brooklyn Nets, number two. The Milwaukee Bucks, number three. The Hawks, four. The Heat, Jimmy Butler came back. That team came back. They're in the fifth seed.
Just like we said they would.
Yep. Charlotte at six, Celtics at seven, and the New York Knicks at eight. So right now, as a whole, we can talk about the teams that aren't currently, if the season ends today, would not be making the playoffs. But your top eight in the Eastern Conference, who surprises you so far, Rayshon? Who is exactly where you thought they would be?
So, I mean, Charlotte and Atlanta have to be the two major surprises, right? I mean, if we're not talking about teams outside of Boston, right? So Atlanta had an 8-game winning streak this season so far. You know, they fired Lloyd Pierce and then obviously, you know, Nate McMillan, who we also talked about on that same episode about certain coaches getting, you know, getting their just due. Nate McMillan has been a good coach no matter where he's been, and he's proven good now in Atlanta as well. So they've been awesome. Trae Young is taking the leap. You know, John Collins is doing what he does. That man is definitely going to get paid in the offseason for sure. Charlotte, right? So, I mean, obviously they've been ridden by injury. So that part's unfortunate. You know, Hayward's been hurt, and obviously LaMelo Ball's out for the year, who probably would have been rookie of the year. I know people are vying for Anthony Edwards, but LaMelo Ball made Charlotte watchable again. And he was awesome. He was great for that franchise in that city. But for them to be in the top eight, when I think in our prediction show, you know, we talked about them really missing the playoffs, but I think Joe and I mentioned that they could be a surprise. I'm not sure, but here they are. Like, Hayward was playing like an all-star for most of the year. Terry Rozier has been great. PJ Washington. So they have a nice little young core there now with some veteran talent. So those are two teams I can think about just off rip that are really, you know, they're really shocking everyone in the East. But, you know, let's say we'll see if it lasts.
Bobby, your biggest surprises so far as it's currently constituted for the top eight teams in the East?
The Knicks, number one. Julius Randle, to me, his emergence this year has just been unbelievable, man. Like, I always liked Julius Randle as like a fourth guy on a team. You know, I thought he would be a really good piece for a championship contender. But what he's shown this year is just unbelievable. I think he leads the league in triple doubles, I'm pretty sure. But he's averaging over 20 points a game. The Knicks are in that A spot. Not only is that, but the Knicks finally have an identity. And that's something that I didn't see coming into this year. They actually have a direction for the first time in the last decade. So I think they're a team we need to start paying attention to. I do like the Knicks roster. So they're definitely up there for me. The other one is the Raptors being on the outside. I know this is a rebuilding year, but I at least thought that they would be above the Bulls, the Pacers, the Knicks, teams like that. Seeing them on the 11th looking out and being pretty far away from that 8th spot. I know there's the play-in this year, so all they have to do is really get to, what, 10, right? It's 8, 9, 10 are in the play. 7, 8, 9, 10. So all they have to do is get to there. But seeing them that far back is surprising to me. I do think that they're going to make a run and get into that play-in tournament, but
21-33, dude.
Rough this year. They're rough.
But I think with them, though, between the Siakam injury,
you
know, Lowry's missed some time, obviously, most important, like, they have one of the best home courts in the league. Maybe if not the best.
Toronto.
In Toronto. You know what I'm saying? So in Toronto. So it's like, so for them to be playing in Tampa all year, you know, then they're not running it back like we're talking about. They're not going for two, as that coach down there said. They're not going for two. So, and I think their playoff run really – or the run of the playoffs is caught up to Toronto, right? So you got to remember, like, that core has been there for a while. So, you know, Lowry and, you know, Van Vliet and, you know, Siakam. And it's like, you know, those games after a while start to pile up. So, you know, it kind of reminds me of what happened back in the day with, you know, with Detroit, right? Detroit had went to three straight finals. They went to a few conference finals in a row. And, you know, when you're constantly going deep into the playoffs, and you're not really replenishing the roster in the offseason because you're just worried about being a contender, this is what happens. So between that and then not being in their arena at all year, being in their actual beds, you know, that really upset the apple cart for them. So it's a shocker, but it's not a complete shocker thinking when things have been uprooted and, you know, athletes in general, people in general are just creatures of habit. So they've been uprooted from what they know. So that's why their record is the way it is.
My biggest surprise, and again, if you listen to this show, this doesn't happen a lot. So just make sure that you bookmark it. I was wrong about the Nets, man. I thought that they were going to maybe a fifth or sixth seed. I thought they would go deep in the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. But the first year when a team brings in, you know, different personalities and different superstars, the record isn't always great, right? I think we saw the biggest thing for me is Miami that first year. They were not great until they were later in the season. I mean, Brooklyn's 37-17. Right, they're tied for first in the Eastern Conference. Mm-hmm. They've added, even since James Harden, LaMarcus Aldridge, who is a great addition. Blake Griffin, again, another good addition. They look to be some team that will prove, I think, what we already know in the NBA is that if you have that much talent, coaching doesn't matter, right? I think it might bite them in the finals if LeBron and Anthony Davis come back and they're healthy. But I think that the Nets are my biggest surprise outside of Boston, because trust me, we'll dig into them a little bit. And I think Bobby hit it also too, the Knicks. I remember doing our preseason predictions. The Knicks were at the bottom of the barrel. Bobby
said,
there was
no doubt about it to us.
Mike, you just let me handle the bottom, right? And like, you can insert your little controversy here and there, but like, I know my stuff, and I believed him. But he did say, I'll give you the credit, you did say this team has the ability to surprise you because of the talent that they do have, but it's unproven.
Also, I did call the Hawks, for the record. I told you the Hawks were going to be good, because remember we had them out, and I was like, nah, man, the Hawks have something this year. And I think Rondo wasn't the right point guard for them. I really like Lou Williams is there now, right? Yeah, I really like Williams in Atlanta now. I think he's a good got to play with Trae Young. I really like Atlanta. They can outscore you any night you're on the court. Atlanta can outscore you. That's a team. That first round matchup, I hope we get it. I hope Atlanta finishes around 6 or 7 so we can get that Brooklyn-Atlanta first round matchup, because it's just going to be 150 to 148 every single night. So
well, honestly, that's not what you should, I mean, from a fan standpoint, I guess, you know, you should say that. But honestly, the hope needs to be that Boston just finds a way to get to the fourth seed, like, immediately. Find a way to get to the fourth seed. And then let either Atlanta or Miami duke it out to be that 5 seed, because that's your best chance of moving on to the second round. Because if they're the 7th or 8th seed, they're not beating Philadelphia or Brooklyn in the first round. I think they could be Philly in the second round. Weird to say, but that's just how I personally see it right now. Embiid is on fire. And yes, and I have to steal the line from Mike about, you know, being wrong, right? You know, when you guys talked about Philly being top two, I immediately scoffed at that. I just felt like Philadelphia was going to be, they were going to implode, like how you thought Brooklyn was going to implode. Joel Embiid is balling. He was the MVP before he got hurt.
Unbelievable this year, bro. He's, you know, unreal.
Yeah, unbelievable. So, you know, Simmons is playing great defense. Tobias Harris looks like a relevant NBA player again. You know, Doc Rivers' son-in-law, you know, Seth Curry is doing things. And, you know, they got Matisse Thybulle and Tyrese Maxey and Shake Milton. So they have, this is really the best team they've had since that 2017-2018 year when they lost to Boston in the second round. You have to surround those two, meaning Simmons and Embiid, with shooters. And they have that now. So to me, you know, they're beatable, but it's just like, it's going to be hard. Because like,
they're not beatable at home in the regular season. I mean, they're 20-5, which is unreal.
It's not, but that's how it's been, though, during this era with them. They played well, even when they were trash, like when it was trust the process, like they was good at home then. And then, like I said, once Embiid and Simmons started to play a lot more, then it was like, oh, if you coming into the Wells Fargo Arena, it's, you know, either you come to play hard or they're going to run you out the building. And that's what's been happening. So, yeah, we're going to see.
What's fun about Philly this year is we're finally seeing the Embiid that we've been begging for 5 years now. You know what I mean? That Embiid that's not scared to get down low and fuck people up. You know, he's still taking threes, but he's not taking pull-up threes anymore. He's not taking threes that you don't see centers take anymore. He's playing the way he should be playing, and that's down low, dirty. He's a dog this year.
So that's coaching
100%. And when he plays like that, he is, I don't, this is a hell of a comparison, but he's as unstoppable as Shaquille O'Neal. When he plays like this, he's on that level of domination. If
he's Hakeem Olajuwon, not Shaq. He's
okay. Okay. So, all right. So the next tier down, fine.
Yeah.
When you sit down and actually watch one of these Sixers games, do it when they're not playing the Celtics, do it when they're playing the Pacers, right?
Yeah.
Actually be able to sit there and watch him play. And it's so enjoyable, man. It's so awesome to watch Joel Embiid do his thing this year, because it's all the promise and everything that we've been hoping for the last 5 years. When he's been out of shape, when he's been a bum, he doesn't hustle. Listen, Doc Rivers got there. He was like, listen, Joel, I can turn you in to a beast, man. And he listened to him. He bought in. And that's why where we are with them, where they are. So you were right, Mike. Full circle. 100% right.
I was right. But remember what I said, like that Philly was going to be a great regular season team because of Doc, but they would crumble in the playoffs because of Doc, right? Like that's still there. I think that this team is still unproven until they hit the playoffs. And I think Doc has a lot to prove in the playoffs, but I didn't think they were going to be 37-17. Like they're playing 72 games this year, right? So they are on pace to still win 48 or 50. That's a wild winning percentage. And I mean, the winning percentage is 685. Think about that. Doc Rivers with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who before the season had a lot of naysayers, is the exact same record as that all-star team in Brooklyn right now. That's a testament to how good of a coach Doc Rivers is.
But you know why that's the case, though? Like, this Philly team fits Doc Rivers, right?
Yeah.
That Clippers team, they were trying to chase the Lakers. Even I'm talking about even with the Kobe years, like they don't want to be the second fiddle. And you know, you guys have your Jack Nicholson, we got our Billy Crystal, and you know, now we have, you know, they get rid of Donald Sterling, bring in Steve Ballmer. And so, you know, there was some fresh blood being brought over there. So, you know, they were trying to get to that level, you know, with Chris Paul and, you know, Matt Barnes, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan. But it's like it was still kind of Hollywood, so to speak. Yep. He's a gritty guy. That's why that 08 team won, because it was like, okay, KG was a monster. That's what he's turning Embiid into. He's becoming a KG type of player, but he's bigger than what KG was. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, not yet. He's doing it, but this is, I feel like there was nights, and not in Boston, but we forget how good Kevin Garnett was in Minnesota. Where
I just mean 46
and 20, you'd be like, oh man, like it was.
Ooh,
like,
that's true. You're right.
Yeah,
but I just mean when it comes to Embiid, it's like when he's playing at his best, it's literally. There is nothing you can do. You know what I mean? So that's why I really feel like when he's at his best, he is on that level, man. He really is. Because you're right. That's what Doc has turned him into. If Joel keeps up this level of production for multiple years, I mean, we don't know if he can. We don't know if his knees or his feet will hang in there. But he's going to be among the top centers ever. And there's no doubt about that, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I'll still take Nikola Jokic. You know, those that know me outside of the show, I am a huge Nikola Jokic fan.
We'll get to the Joker. Don't worry.
He's a problem. And it's just like, man, he, to me, that's the guy I would start with. That's just my opinion. But yeah, like I said, Embiid is definitely playing on another level for sure.
Moving on to the Western Conference, I think this is the biggest surprise conference that we have here. I mean, so number one, Utah Jazz, 40-14. Phoenix Suns, number two, 38-15. Clippers at three. Nuggets at four. Lakers, again, there should be a little bit of an asterisk next to that because of LeBron, AD. But Trailblazers at six, Mavericks at seven, Memphis at eight. Of your top eight teams, who's the biggest, like, what team is the biggest riser in the Western Conference, Bobby?
I mean, you got to go with the Suns, right? I mean, I thought they were going to be good this year coming into the season. They were that team everyone was hyped on. But 38-15, man, this team is an absolute wagon this year. They are just dominating. Chris Paul is playing like Chris Paul does. It's this guy is the point god. He's unbelievable. Mikal Bridges, we have Devin Booker. Like, these guys are just loaded this year, and they're ready for a run. They're the team that I think is gonna be able to push the Lakers, push the Clippers. I like the Jazz, but the Suns to me, man, they're so fun to watch with Paul and Booker. They're my NBA League Pass team. Every single time I log on to League Pass, if the Suns are playing, I click on their game, 100%.
Ray, biggest riser in the West.
Yeah, I mean, Bobby said it best. Like, it has to be Phoenix. I'm actually surprised that Portland is still sixth, because I feel like they've had a lot. They've been, you know, killed with injuries too, with CJ being out. Melo had a little bit of a resurgence this year over there. Obviously, Dame has been Dame. I mean, you know,
hitting shots
on like the Nike building. You know, I made that reference because the Nike building is in Oregon, but he's been hitting it from like Eugene, Oregon. It's ridiculous. Dame is awesome, but you know, Joe, you know, you're not on the show with us tonight, brother. But we got the Utah Jazz pick right. We said that Utah was going to be a problem. And man, have they ever been a problem. You know, Mr. Coronavirus himself, Rudy Gobert, has been great. Donovan Mitchell has been awesome. You know, speaking of Mitchells, I know this is we're talking about pros, but watch out for another 45. And then with Davion Mitchell from Baylor, he's going to be a rookie this year. He's going to be a problem. But I just had to put that in. He's a problem. But yeah, Utah has been awesome. And I have to bring this up. We got to kill the narrative that Chris Paul is not a winner. Yes, I get that he has not been to a finals.
But he hasn't won.
If you let me finish, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you so much. Sorry.
My
bad. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Whenever there's a meme, not a meme, but there's a graphic somewhere that shows the winning percentage that changes from the team. When he was on the year before he got there to the year he gets there, the team automatically gets to like at least about a 20% win increase. So, yes, he plays. He makes winning plays. He makes teams better. But it's like, I get it, because I know it feeds into, you know, you and DK's point about how, you know, a guy that's 6 feet can't be your best player on a championship team. Obviously, we've had a few exceptions, but Chris Paul makes your team better. There's no way that Phoenix is 38-15 without Chris Paul. That's just not happening. Yes, they surprised people in the bubble by winning eight straight, you know, to try to force a play in, but they didn't get there. But Chris Paul, he impacts winning unlike most players in the league. So to say that he's, you know, he's a loser, and I'm like, most of us saying this, and I'm like, this is not a knock on you. This is a knock to some people I know that's going to be listening to this, and they've been saying congrats on the success of the show. Some of y'all.
Now we're gonna shit on you.
That's fine. That's
thanks
fine.
For listening.
They know how I am. Some of y'all didn't get a YMCA trophy, and y'all have a nerve to talk about Chris Paul. I don't get it. I don't get it. It's one thing to say that he didn't play well, type of play, but I'm like, to say that he's trash? Nah. Nah. So well, I'm like, those of you listening, you know who you are when you listen to this, and you can write to me. Remember, my Instagram is _ Hollywood Wale. You know, you can find me on Facebook at Rayshon D. Buchanan, all that. You can write to me. But to say he's trash, when I was like, you have not, you didn't get more than a YMCA trophy. Chill.
I mean, you really know you've made it big as a podcast when you can individually go after listeners one by one. Like, that's a telltale sign of knowing how big. But what I will say, there can be a difference between being those people that believe that he's trash and he's not a winner, right? Scoreboard. He's not a winner. As exponentially better as he has made teams the year that he's gone onto them, how many of them have won a championship? Rhetorical. Zero. Because he, for some reason, and I don't know if it's just bad luck, maybe it is. And if that's the case, sure. You know, there are great players in this league that never won a championship. Carmelo is one of the best. Never won. And I don't think that would you call Carmelo a loser?
No. Him or John Stockton. But yeah. I know there's people that are because, once again, but at least they got to the finals twice. So they got there, but to say, I mean, are we shaming them for losing to Michael Jordan? Are we doing that?
No.
Is that like, I mean, are we shaming them for losing to Hakeem Olajuwon in the conference finals? Like, I don't understand that. Remember, they beat Houston as well too, well, after coming off that. So it's just like, I don't, like I said, I'm not going to get into the rabbit hole. We can go. Bring the 90s show later on, but it's just like, I can go all day with that, but keep going, Mike.
One second, Bobby, but I don't want to go too far into the rabbit hole, but let's just the tip. Okay. How about we talk about like the murderer's row of players that beat, you know, Carmelo and John Stockton. Let's compare that to the murderer's row of players that have kept Chris Paul from the finals.
Oh, we can do that. You know who kept him from the finals most years? It's Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, or James Harden. Oh, he was on with Harden. Kobe Bryant. Like it really. So I'm going to defend Chris Paul here because I love Chris Paul. So I got this one. I'll take it, man. I got it. We're not, when we call him a winner, just, I've said this so many times on this show, just because you don't win a championship does not mean that you're not a winner. Championships are the hardest things to win, and it's the hardest thing to do in sports, literally. Chris Paul has brought every single team that he has been on to the playoffs. Year after year, this man's teams win. Last year, he went to the Oklahoma City Thunder, who were tanking, and brought them to the playoffs. So every single time this dude goes to a team, all they do is win. Granted, can they take that next step? No. But that isn't always necessarily Chris Paul's fault, in my opinion. He had Doc Rivers in L.A. He had James Harden in Houston. When you have flawed pieces, guess what? You look pretty flawed. And I think that this Phoenix situation is the best situation for Chris Paul. And I think this year is going to be the difference.
Yeah, but how many times have we said that? Like, didn't we say that about him in LA with Doc? Wasn't that it? Him, Blake, DeAndre, it wasn't that the best time for him to win? And then he didn't.
I mean, even in New Orleans. But
I'm not denying that. But
yeah, even in New Orleans, right? Like, they were the 2 seed in 08. You know, they won 56 games with Tyson Chandler being the second best player. Are you kidding me? Let me take that back. Let me not be disrespectful. David West, I'm sorry. David was the second best player. But it's just like David West and Tyson Chandler were part of your quote-unquote big three, and they won 56 games with that team. Like, once again, what happened after he leaves? As soon as he leaves the team, granted, the Clippers are different because they were able to find Paul George and they brought in Kawhi. Well, guess what? Yes, Kawhi's a champion, but they both blew a 3-1 lead. Just saying. So it's just like, my thing is he impacts winning. Once again, yes, he doesn't have 4 or 5 rings, but not many players do, right? A lot of people don't even have one, right?
That's what I'm saying, man. Winning a championship is hard, guys.
And it is a team. It is a team accomplishment. T-E-A-M, as in team. It is a team accomplishment. And we murder players all the time, not just in basketball, but across sports. Well, oh, we didn't win it. Well, how many of your favorite players won one? My favorite player did. You know, shout out to Paul Pierce, the captain and the truth. My guy got one. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like – I don't know, but it's just like, I don't know, man. Chris Paul, the slander on him is wild at times. And like I said, I want to thank you for coming to my TED Talk. And it's just like, you know, but we can keep going with the Western Conference.
Yeah, so a biggest loser in the Western Conference, Bobby, based on what you've seen so far, who has underperformed thus far, you know, given the expectations that you had?
So I don't want to say underperformed. I would say the biggest loser to me currently today as we stand because of the devastating news that just happened is the Denver Nuggets. This team was primed to make a run, man. This is a good basketball team. I've told you guys this all year. Aaron Gordon goes there, and he's a perfect piece for them. I was so pissed we didn't get him, but we'll get there. He's a perfect piece in Denver. You have Jamal Murray. You have the Joker, who, to me, at this point, is probably the MVP of the league. This man is unbelievable. He's Dirk Nowitzki 2.0. That's what Jokic is. And then last night, devastating news, Jamal Murray's out for the year. And that's such a killer to that team, man. That's like Jaylen going out for us or Tatum going out for us. That's such a killer to that team. I'm devastated for him. I really thought the Nuggets were going to do something this year.
He's probably out for a lot next year, too. He tore his ACL.
Yeah, tore it. The other biggest loser has to be the Golden State Warriors. To see them down there at 10. Listen, because they... All right, maybe not the... I was... Maybe not. All right.
Defend your point.
To see some of the losses they've had this year with Steph Curry, man, it's devastating to me to see him on the sideline and them losing by 53 points in a game. Some of these games have been devastating.
Here we go.
They've been rough, man. The other one I was thinking. New Orleans Pelicans. That team should be so much damn better.
Yeah, we agree on that one. Yeah,
they
should be so much
better. To have Brandon Ingram and to have Zion Williamson, who is he's a treat, man. You watch him play, he's unreal. And that reason is Stephen Van Gundy, 100%. He's the worst coach in the NBA. He's so bad.
Ray, don't let what Bobby just did negate the passion that you just had. Talk about the Golden State Warriors a little bit and why they're not disappointing. Why Bobby's take of them being one of the biggest disappointments or biggest underperformers in his opinion is wrong.
I mean, yeah, people have them in the lottery, and I get it. Right now they would be. But the fact that they've won 26 games, I think, what are they, 26 or 28, Mike? I don't have the game in front of me. But
they're only two games out of the playoffs.
So to be only two games out of the playoffs without Clay, Andrew Wiggins was more inconsistent than the third grader at times. You know, it's unbelievable. And honestly, and I think I said this on a previous show, if they find a way to get in, do not be surprised if Klay Thompson comes back. And I promise you, if they sneak in to get a 7th seed and Klay comes back, whoever's that top 2 seed, say if it's Utah's going home. They're going home. And mind you, that goes again. And we would maybe lose a point there. I understand that. But I've seen it too many times with Steph and Klay when them boys catch fire. As we saw with Steph, literally last night, the man had 53.
That's why I said the Warriors thing, and then literally I remembered 53. It popped in my head.
That man is unreal. You know, finally he has a number that surpasses Wilt, because we know Wilt was a legend on and off the court for many reasons. We don't have to get into that. But it's, oh man, I don't know. Like, I mean, trust me, Bobby, you're not alone in that thinking. There's a lot of people that think that Golden State has underperformed. They think they're going to be a lottery team. But I'm telling you, do not let Golden State get into this playoff with Curry. Can get high in any game. I'm telling you, don't let it happen.
Quick question before we move on a little bit. If the season were to end today as it's currently constituted, and let's say that the Warriors get to number 7, right? They play Phoenix. Who wins, man?
But we say that because obviously it's Chris Paul but a lot of the guys have not been. I actually have Golden State in an upset. And that sounds crazy. I know that some people say that, but I just Curry and I'm sorry, as much as we just praise Chris Paul, Steph Curry owns him.
Owns him
in the postseason. Owns him. So that's not a, you know, he made that man play Twister on the court. If you don't believe me, go back and watch it on YouTube. He made that man play Twister on the court, and even his teammates was like, damn. So like that is, he owns that man. So I'm pretty sure that Chris Paul does not want to see him in the first round.
Yeah, if Golden State gets into that tournament, the play-in tournament, that's going to be so fun to watch Steph Curry in a one-game playoff again. It'll be like March Madness all over again, man.
Exactly.
I wouldn't hate that. I don't think they'll get by the Suns, but if they get into that play-in tournament, they're going
to
win.
But their core guy, I mean, obviously they have Jay Crowder's on there. Obviously he just went to the finals last year. Obviously Chris Paul's been in numerous playoff, has had numerous playoff appearances, but, you know, Booker's never been there. As good as he is, Booker's never been there. DeAndre Ayton's never been there. Mikal Bridges has never been there. So there's a lot of guys on that team that's a part of their core going forward that haven't had that pressure. Now, obviously, it's going to help having a Chris Paul there. It's going to help having even a guy like Jay Crowder there. But like I said, Steph and Draymond, as much as I can't stand Draymond, there's a switch that they turn on when it comes to the postseason. So I'm actually really intrigued by that point, Mike. I really hope that matchup happens, and I'll take all bets on for that series, Bobby. You know, I'll take all bets on, like, whether straight up, +3, whatever, -3, whatever.
I'll take all the state.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to me that, like, for me, again, if it's Golden State versus any team that Chris Paul is on, I'm taking the Golden State.
They would be Dallas. They would be
the leader of your team is someone who, whether it's his fault or not, has not been able to get over the hump. He's your leader, and you're on a team that has no other core guys that have ever made it. That's trouble, because when you get down, then what happens, right? And especially against a team like Golden State, which they do not lose in the playoffs. They just don't ever.
Do you trust Damian Lillard though?
No.
Hell yeah.
In the playoffs now.
Wow. Well,
should I? Tell me why.
Granted, outside of what happened a few years ago against New Orleans when they got swept, like he's sent people home a few times. Like I trust him in a moment. Like obviously they was outmatched against Golden State. Like you're not beating Durant and those guys. Like that's not happening. But I guess anybody else, like, you know, they might have had a chance to beat LA last year in the first round, but he ended up getting hurt and some other guys got hurt. Like KCP, there was an APB out for his defense. Like he was missing. He was missing in that play. Like Damian Lillard was getting whatever he wanted. So I trust Dame. I trust Steph. I trust CP3 too. I just don't trust him against Steph Curry, because Steph Curry is going to get whatever he wants, and Steph Curry has the ability to send you home crying to your mama and your daddy immediately.
Right now, it'd be the Trailblazers versus the Clippers. I mean,
but that's a more even series than people think. People think, oh, because it's Kawhi and it's PG. Dame, who's going to guard Dame?
Dame's not scared. That's the thing. Dame's never scared. Dame, any team that the Blazers face, they can beat them if Dame is healthy. Specifically because, listen, Dame's not scared, so that means that team's not scared. You know what I mean? Well, like, they're not going to back down against anyone. It doesn't matter if it's fucking LeBron James. It doesn't matter. You saw Dame in that All-Star game, man. He was like, you know what?
60 feet.
Was game like, over. 60 feet. Yo, I texted Ray in a
ball game.
Bro, did you? What? Damian Lillard is a dog, man. And in a 7-game series, there's no one else that I would rather have on my team, if I'm being honest. There's
nobody else.
There's no one else for 7 games that I know is going to give me what you need to win. Granted, yes, LeBron James. All right, fuck it. LeBron James won. Damian Lillard too. Those are the two guys I would want on my team in a 7-game series, because it's just the unstoppable factor. Is like, you could play the best defense in the world. Yep. In the world. It doesn't matter. You could be literally, this is going to sound like it's not supposed to, but you could be literally inside this dude and he's still going to drain that fucking 30 footer in your face. It doesn't fucking matter.
Splash City, right?
Right. So, though, to me, those are my two guys that I would take in a 7-game series. So, yeah, I trust
Dave. Agreed.
Just a quick question before we go to the Celtics, because we have a lot of happy-go-lucky stuff to talk about. You know, our green team.
Finally.
KD or Lillard? Like, who do you take in the playoffs?
Oh, Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant.
I take Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant. We saw what happened when he was, you know, in the words of Matt Scott, when he was crewed up. When he pulls off on that left side from 30 feet, it's good. We've never seen a guy like that. Guy, he's 6'11", got the handles like a guard. Nah, it's KD. He's the only guy that can rival LeBron. Kevin Durant's ridiculous. He's ridiculous.
I just wanted to bring that up because Bobby just said that there's no one besides LeBron, which is great, that he would trust more than Lillard. But
no,
I mean,
trust me. Honestly, he's top five. He's top five.
I would take Lillard. If you told me two guys that... Fuck, that's such a tough... it's so hard to say. I don't know. Because I just feel like if you were building a team and you needed a leader, you needed a dog to lead you into that, into I don't want to call it war, but to lead you into war, the NBA playoffs, there's real. If you gave me anyone, Damian Lillard just seems like, bro, I know what I'm getting out of him, and I know that we're going to have a fucking chance in this series. So
You know what's also crazy? I'm this is the last point I'm going to make, because like, so we can keep probably going another 10 minutes about this. The crazy part is there's another guy that plays on Kevin Durant's team that I take in that moment too. And I'm gonna say
no. That's fine. No, Kyrie's fine.
When the game is on the line, granted, we've seen it against Golden State, we've seen it against he had the game winner against Detroit in his first playoff series. Like I forget what year that was. I want to say it was the 2017 conference finals when LeBron had like four fouls in like 20 minutes. And you know, we had just won game three because Avery Bradley hit the game winner. And then, you know, we was like, okay, we're back and forth. And Kyrie was like, enough.
Nope.
Just whatever I want, none of you motherfuckers can guard me. It's a wrap. And so I'm like, I've seen him take over games. So I'm just like, when he's on, and once again, we did see it in Boston too. So Boston fans, get the salt out your mouth. All these flavors that you chose to be salty, we seen it in Boston too. When he's on, that man is special. So he's another guy that I put in that conversation too. I would love for that to be another topic by itself on another show, since we're going to do it, obviously. So I can do a deeper dive, because now it's just going off emotion and like what I remember. But yeah, those are guys I think of. Like I said, Dame, Kyrie, KD's got to be in the top two. Has to be. Yeah, when he's healthy, he's ridiculous.
We'll take a deep dive into that. Not tonight, but on our next show for sure. So now we get to talk about our favorite team, right? The team that puts smiles on our faces, and I'm talking about the one and the only, the Boston Celtics. I prepared a little statement. Close games have been an issue for the Celtics all season. They're 28-26. 21 of those 26 losses have been within 5 points in the last 5 minutes. Only the Suns have fewer losses that weren't within five in the last five. They lost their first eight clutch games after the All-Star break, shooting just 1-for-12 on clutch threes and 6-for-12 on clutch free throws. But the C's broke through last week, right? I think we can all agree with that. Coming back from fourth quarter deficits to beat the Knicks and the Wolves after scoring just 37 points on 46 clutch possessions for the first eight games, they scored 37 on 25 Wednesday and Friday, shooting 6-for-11 on clutch threes. So my question is, who do we trust? The Celtics that we've seen before last week or the Celtics that we've seen since last week? Bobby, go ahead.
This past week has been, it's been a relief. I'll give you that. It absolutely has. And to see them play the way that they've been playing, I have a few stats that we'll get into that really do show that they are turning the corner here and they are figuring out the lineups that they need to use and that this isn't fake. You know, what scares me is even when it is going great, we still have these moments of like, there it is. Like even that Timberwolves game. Right. We were down huge, came back. Those first 20 minutes were brutal basketball. We were up 11 with 3.5 minutes left and ended up in overtime. So it's like, yes, I do trust this stretch. And there's some numbers that show that it is real. But there's just moments still where you see that leak through and it scares you. But it's a hell of a lot less than it used to be. It really is. The last six games have been, I've actually been able to watch the basketball games, the full games. I've been able to sit there and watch them. And that's something I haven't been able to say all year. So
I'm going to repeat this again for Ray, and then I'll let him go. 21 of their 26 losses have been by 5 points within the last 5 minutes. Again, this team has duped us before, right? Because of the talent on this team, we know what they can be. And when we see glimpses of that, we're like, oh, they're back, right? They're 7-3 in their last 10. So who do you trust? The team that you've seen up until last week? Or do you believe that this is that they've turned a corner and now this is the team that we can believe in?
So honestly, I still believe it's a mix of both. Honestly, like I think they are that team that has shown, you know, to fall in late game situations, but also can be the team that's starting to actually figure it out. And so, although we don't like to speak about this year with Celtics history because it pissed us off, if we go back that 2018-2019 year, you know, the year they lost to Milwaukee in the second round, that team started out 10-10. And people were wondering, like, man, like, you know, what is going on? And, you know, can horseshoes, you know, make any adjustments that's gonna make this team go? And so I think it was a game in New Orleans. I forget, somebody went down and got hurt, and the horseshoes had put Marcus Smart in the game. And so because of horseshoes adjustment, that team, they actually won 8 in a row at that moment. And they went to 18-10, and you know, they was like, oh man, like, you know, we're back and we're doing this, and they had all this bravado and they were just going crazy. So, you know, that was a good move by horseshoes at that time. Now, fast forward to this year, horseshoes puts in Brad, not Wanamaker, but he's no longer there. Horseshoes puts in a Rob Williams and the defense takes off. Right. And that's what happened with, you know, when horseshoes put Smart in. A few years ago. So I just think that now that the defense is where we need it to be situationally correct, right? As we talked about before off the air, their defense has gotten better. Yes, I know the Timberwolves score was wild. Obviously, 145-136. That was insane. Shout out to Tatum for getting his career high with 53 points that night. Finally getting to the fucking free throw line, you know, had to get that out there because I'm like, dude, like, you got to shoot free throws. But I think that it's putting, you know, you don't want to get COVID, but I think with Tristan Thompson being out like this, it let us know, okay, we finally have something in Rob Williams. Let's just go with this. And, you know, to Horseshoe's credit, Horseshoe's then put in Tristan Thompson after he came back. He said, you know, he got on this press conference and was like, you know, we're going to stick with Rob. Excuse me. So that's good. So, you know, I'm not changing what I feel about Horseshoes, but I'm glad he'd made some adjustments that have actually helped the team. And, you know, they're looking okay now.
I know, like, it sounds like you're going to try, but I promise you, like, you cannot call Brad Stevens horseshoes enough. There's just not enough time.
Yeah,
that it's was awesome. So true.
It gets me every time.
So Bobby, you know, we'll talk a little bit more about, like, how we feel about the Celtics right now, but I think we would be doing ourselves a disservice not to preview a game. And for those of you that are listening to this, hold this against us. They're playing the Portland Trailblazers tonight. They're playing your boy, your man, the only person that you would take below LeBron James, Damian Lillard, in the Portland Trailblazers, right? How do we shape up against this team? And if we win this game, again, we'll be 8-3 in our last 11. Is that enough for you to believe that this team is making a run and pushing it into the playoffs?
Yeah, I think this West Coast trip is going to tell us a lot. I really do. West Coast trips are always very telling of a team. I remember when the champion Celtics back in 08 went on that run in Texas, that was kind of the turning point of that season. So if we can come out of this run and go 3-1, 4-0 on this West Coast trip, I think that's a very good sign for this team. Tonight's going to be tough. Portland is kind of a trap game tonight because Portland's been struggling lately. I think they've lost 4 of 6. It's their fourth game in like 5 days. So it is a game where we see the Celtics normally kind of lay an egg. So I'm a little nervous about that, but I think we come out and win tonight. I really do. Tatum's just been on an absolute tear. So I want to give you guys a couple numbers here for Jason Tatum. So before the All-Star break, Jason Tatum was taking 21% of his shots inside the restricted area and shooting 62% on those shots. Since the All-Star break, he's taken almost 30% of his shots within the restricted area, which is within the paint, everyone, for anyone that doesn't know basketball, and then shooting 73.4% on those shots. So he's taking 6% more shots inside the paint, which means he's driving the basketball, which in turn has averaged 8.1 points per game at the rim. Also, he's taking 40% of his shots behind the arc, right? He's only shooting about 6% of his shots in between the paint and the three-point, which is something that we have been begging Jason Tatum to do his entire goddamn career. And to me, that's such a big contributor to what we're seeing to this team, because Tatum isn't taking those 19 footers that are killing possessions anymore. He's taking good quality 3-point shots. He's driving the basketball like we have been asking him to do for years. So if he can continue to do that, I really think this team is in good shape. If we reverse back to the Kobe, Jason Tatum that we saw the past 2 years, or the, I guess the anti-Kobe is like the bad version of Kobe, the past 2 years, then the season's going to end up right where we were.
That's fair. That's fair to say. I do think, and like Bobby, I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Mike, you as well. Even you as well, Craig. Remember last year when they went on this trip to Denver, to Portland? I want to say it might have been Utah involved in it last year because they switched it up, obviously, because of what was going on with the schedule. This is when Tatum went on his run last year. He went on the run against Portland. He had 41 against L.A. In L.A., they lost that game, but that was kind of his like a rival game. He had 39 against the Clippers. Like, so this was the trip last year that kind of catapulted Tatum. So I'm hoping that's the case now. You know, the biggest thing that we didn't bring up, they held Denver to 8 points.
In the 40-8, man.
40-8. And, you know, Bob Ryan brought it up. I mean, I think Dan Shaughnessy brought it up, too, in his interview. You can listen to that in the show. But he's a friend of the show. That's right. So how you doing, Dan? But they went on a 36-6 run against Atlanta back in, I want to say, in the 88 playoffs. Because they played Atlanta a couple of years, but I think 88, that was the year that everyone will remember. So they did that against Atlanta. So this is one of the best quarters in Southeast basketball history. Like, it was awesome. And it kind of flew under the radar. And I'm like, yo, we've been clamoring for this team to actually play defense. And I'm like, I see it in the starting lineup tonight. You know, it looks like Horseshoe has made another adjustment. So you have, so it's going to be Kemba. Oh, no, it's still the same. So it's Kemba, Smart, Tatum, Brown, and then Rob. I thought they took Smart out, but I forgot that Fournier is still Ryan DePine because he's under the COVID protocol. So this may be their best defensive lineup with having Smart and then Rob in there. They just have to keep playing like it, obviously, and just keep running, right? Just keep running, you know, off a rebound, just go. Rob is going to run the floor, and Rob spaces the floor, right? That's the key. So like I said, but hopefully, but just back to Tatum. You know, Tatum is definitely definitely still their best player. Like, I know we were going back and forth, but it was better than him or Brown. It's Tatum. And it's just like, you know, sorry, Dave. I know you like Brown's spirit. And, you know, actually, most of y'all like Brown's spirit. Y'all can't stand Tatum for some reason. But, you know, Bobby said it best about me, I think, on another show that we did. I'm about the stars. I get the role players is not to say that Brown's a role player, but I'm saying, like, we hold on to like these role guys, like, oh, like, you know, the Jay Crowders and the Marcus Smarts, man, that's cool. I was a Pierce guy, now I'm a Tatum guy. Like, let Tatum be the guy, let him take us there. The numbers are showing that he's starting to improve. Only thing I want for Tatum and Brown, just keep moving the ball. That's what they've been doing lately, too. That's what's been helping. There was a couple of careless turnovers where they moved the ball too much, but I'd rather see a turnover from that than it being, you know, shake at the top of the key. And then it's a fadeaway three, or it's a shot that goes out of bounds from like 30 feet. So I like what I'm seeing, and I hope that this is the road trip that turns it around. So like Bobby said, if they go 3-1, 4-0, that would be awesome. And, you know, we're back in business.
Yeah. So I guess the real heart of my question is, it feels like we've been so out on the Celtics all season long. Like, we didn't trust them. We didn't believe that they had we knew that they had the talent, but we just didn't believe that they had the whatever it would take to get them to this next point. So if they go 3-1 or 4-1, or if they sweep this West Coast road trip, right? And let's say they get into the playoffs as a fifth seed and they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals again and they lose. Do all the drastic things that we called for weeks ago still need to happen?
Yes. Horseshoes needs to go.
It depends how. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, the Brad Stevens part.
No, horseshoes.
The horseshoes. I can't say it.
So it's not gimmick infringement. It's okay.
Okay. All right. All right. So horseshoes.
So horseshoes, one, two, three.
Horseshoes.
Got to go.
Because I think if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals, and you can be a star fucker all you want, Ray. Right? You love your Paul Pierce. You love your Jason Tatum. The fact of the matter is, the team with Isaiah Thomas and Kelly Olynyk made it the exact same distance as a team with your star and Jaylen Brown, right? Eastern Conference Finals has not gone any further than that. So let's say that they've reached the top and it's the Eastern Conference Finals. Do you move one of them?
Well, no, I'm taking this. I'm sorry, Ray. I'm taking this one. I'm so sick of this goddamn narrative, man. I'm so sick of it. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are fucking 24 and 23 years old.
Yeah.
You do not move one of them. It will be one. Unless you're bringing back a James Harden. Unless you're bringing back someone who is I already told you, Ray. We've already said that I've abandoned that take. I want James Harden here.
Yeah, okay.
But I'm just saying, like, unless you're getting back a baller like that, you don't move one of them because they're so young at this point. It's unbelievable to me the amount of scrutiny that these two guys face at this young of an age when they play as well as they do. The only reason the Celtics are even in a stratosphere of competing this year is because of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So the fact that this is a narrative in Celtics now, I mean, it's not just you. I'm not coming at you. Fact that this is a narrative is crazy to me because if this happens, like, we still talk about the day the Bruins traded Tyler Seguin. Still talk about the day the Red Sox traded these stars. And I promise you, if we trade Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum, we will be talking about it for 10 to 15 years when both of those guys, either one of them, is dominating for another team. And whoever we trade him for has been off our team for 5 fucking years.
Yeah, so what
don't
you just
do
said,
it, Danny. Well, don't
hold
boss
on. What you just said.
No.
What you just said is a very interesting point that I just want to quickly combat. I know that we've turned you leaf. We don't go after each other, but I'm going to go after you for this one, right? We hold on to the day that Tyler Seguin was traded because he won a Stanley Cup with the 2011 Bruins. We remember the days that stars were traded from the Red Sox because they had either just won a championship recently or they won the next year. My point, my biggest point of contention is you say that we are where we are at right now. The only reason that we are in contention is because we have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. My counter to that is when we didn't have them, when we had nobody that anyone in the league valued, we were in the Eastern Conference Finals because of Brad. So then what? Because my point is, if you remove two of them and you only have him, you'll still be here. How do we get to the next level? Go ahead, right?
Get rid of horseshoes. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, get rid of horseshoes, but also get rid of Kemba.
That's the common denominator there. But that's the common denominator there, right? You have Isaiah. You have a dude that's averaging 30 points a game. Can't even get to the finals. You have two of the best NBA prospects Boston has seen in so long. Can't get to the finals. Why is this on the players? We have two different. We have two different groups of players that were very good teams. And he couldn't get him to the problem.
To be fair, because you know, Mike's doing what Mike does best. Jaylen Brown he's good, but Jaylen Brown was a rookie on that 2016-2017 team. He was hardly playing. That's one. You want to keep Tatum? Go get Bradley Beal, and I promise you that Tatum will be here next year. So I'm here for it because Bradley Beal is only 27 years old. I'm here for it. Bring Bradley Beal over Jaylen Brown. Get rid of Kemba, and I bet you this team turns around. I promise
one last thing on Jason Tatum is like, yeah. I know I talk him up so much, but it's like I don't think Boston. I don't want to shit on Celtics fans as a whole, but like I don't think Celtics fans realize how special and how talented this guy really is. Like the greats of basketball, NBA history, Allen Iverson. Talks this dude up. We've had, I forget who was it? LeBron has marveled at Jason Tatum. Like, the greats of basketball look at Jason Tatum, and they're like, dude, that's a dude that you want on your team for the next 10 to 15 years. Can you imagine Jason Tatum when he matures, and he is 28, 29 years old, and he is, it's going to be unbelievable.
And he is... fresh off another 3 Eastern Conference Finals defeats.
Oh, you're driving me nuts, man. It's if the Boston Celtics end up, so if this ends up happening, right, and we miss the Eastern Conference Finals next 2 years, and because of the pressure in Boston, they trade Jason Tatum. That is going to be the biggest mistake in Celtics franchise history. And it will ruin the franchise for the next 5 to 10 years. And that is
that's why it has to be Brown. It can't be Tatum. You can't do it. It has to be Brown. It has to be him. And then Kemba's off the books in 2023. But I'm like, honestly, listen, Horseshoes number two, aka Danny Ainge, you got to get rid of Kemba in the offseason. You have to at this point. Like, I'm praying to the heavens above that Kemba balls out this postseason, because his stock will go way up, because that's what we need. Get his ass to Logan Airport immediately. I'm talking about as soon as the playoffs is over, I'm going to go bring him to the Clam Box out of Quincy, not a sponsor. Go get him some seafood, put his luggage in a Suburban truck, ship his ass to Logan and send him right back to the Bronx, or send him down to Charlotte where his mom is at, where his wonderful mother is. Shoot, send him out of here. He's got to go. I love Kemba. You're a great guy.
You don't want Smiley around anymore?
No, I love him as a person. But I'm like, can you actually deliver? And once again, and even in the same breath of me kind of killing him, until that pass that was made by Kyle Lowry, he made the game-winning play that they should have had him up 3-0. He made the play. That play to Tice was one of the best plays I've seen in the playoffs ever. So it was just like we were that close that we weren't to be worried about, man, what was his knee? Well, you know, because we were talking about that, but like he was performing up until that point. But either way, that was last year. This is now. Listen, we got to get the Uber to Logan Airport.
And I just have one last bit of controversy to dispose of amongst you, and then we can wrap up. Looking at a stat sheet, there's no real difference between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So I don't care. I mean, I would move. Jason.
Yeah, this season, absolutely. This season, sure.
Like, Jason is not. If you could get a Bradley Beal for Jason Tatum to play with Jaylen Brown, I would do it.
No way. No, the other way around. It's got to be Brown.
But Jalen's Jalen's not going to get him.
Yeah, but Tatum.
Whoa. Hold on, Bobby. Why wouldn't he?
Because people in the league regard Jason Tatum as this next big thing.
Because he is. I can't stress.
Jaylen Brown could get you Bradley Beal. If you have to, maybe you have to ship in, you know, hell, you want to give them Grant Williams. You want to give them my niece and nephew. Fine. Give them whatever you want. I would take Bradley Beal here in a heartbeat. And I think Jaylen Brown as the centerpiece around that deal with a couple of picks, like, that definitely gets that deal done. Yeah, absolutely gets so that too. Deal done. No way.
No one's beating that deal either. You know what I mean? No one's beating that deal.
You get that. And then it's just now, you know, then obviously, you know, you find a way to get rid of Kemba to another team. And it, you know, remember that, I think that Kemba deal, we talked about him going to Dallas, like Tim Hardaway and Maxi Kleber, whatever. Like, that's how you build out that, you surround that bench. And also, I think they need to resign Fournier too. I know it's early, resign him. And so now then you have a deeper team around Tatum, and then you just let him go from there. Cause Bradley Beal could play point guard. You could let, and he's 6'5". Now you don't have a weakness defensively. You got, it's Beal, Smart, Tatum, I don't, whoever your four is, and then Rob Williams. Oh yeah, I'm here for it. Let's go.
That's what I always reiterate is, like, this is the worst Celtics bench I've seen in maybe 10 years. So to say that these guys don't have it because last year, yeah, all right, we'll judge them on last year for sure. But I just don't see this year as a clear indicator of it. I do agree with Ray on Fournier though. Fournier, I think, is going to be a good piece down the stretch. And that's also an impressive thing that we've been doing this without him. Last thing on Kemba too. Anytime he scores 20 points, the Celtics have won 60% of those outings. So anytime Kemba,
what do you know? You don't say.
Anytime Kemba is the Kemba that we signed, that we had last year, we are on par with that team. Last year we had about a 60% winning percentage. When Kemba scores 20, we win about 60% of our games. Fact is, he doesn't do that much anymore. Right. But so Kemba is an X factor, but I agree. He is the guy that you got to move. And don't fucking trade Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Please. Just please don't do it. Like, I promise you we're going to be sad if we do it, unless we get Bradley Beal. If Bradley Beal comes in here, I will have a Bradley Beal jersey on for that podcast.
Immediately, I'm going straight to TD Garden immediately.
I don't have a Jaylen Brown jersey, but I will have a Bradley Beal jersey.
Facts.
Like, while I'm so excited, Bobby, that, you know, because it pained me actually to my core as a sports person when you said that this team wasn't even fun to watch anymore. It sounds like you've bought in a little bit more to them. You're back. Yeah. They can still prove it. You know, for me, I can't go one show without saying that. I don't. Now, I mean this because I love watching basketball and all sports. I don't trust this team. And everything that I said and that you said and that Rayshon said 3 weeks ago holds true to me if in June we're talking about an Eastern Conference Finals exit. Because if that's the ceiling with these players that you that everyone has deemed one of them being the next big thing, then we need to do something and we need to do it quick, because what we don't want is for Jason or Jalen to become snake bitten and believe that, all right, well, this is it. Like, I can't go further here, so I need to go further somewhere else.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't get to the point that it does feel – I hate to always relate it back to the Cowboys, but I just hope we don't get to the point where we judge these guys without giving them the tools and pieces that they – that a lot of other superstars have been given to succeed. You know what I mean? Like, you look at a guy like Brad Stevens – Horseshoes. Sorry. We look at a guy like Horseshoes, and I just don't feel like he – like, we've said it so many times – he's not the guy to get you to that championship level. And I said that earlier. Common denominator between the teams, bro. Brad Stevens, a.k.a.
No. He's Andy Reid in Philadelphia. He's going to keep getting you there to that point, to that brink. And then it's like, and who knows? But
and then guess what? You ate some chunky soup before the game, and all of a sudden you throw up all over your shoes.
Exactly. Right. Kemba is McNabb, and that's what's going on right now. That's exactly, Rayshon, that's such a good comparison. Kemba is McNabb. That's exactly what's going on. Horseshoes is Andy Reid. He's got to go. Got to go.
Jason Tatum's not T.O. Don't even think about fucking saying him. Like,
I mean, no, I'm not. No.
Yeah, but that's how he feels, though. That's how he feels right now. He wants to say it. Just to piss
us off. No, I won't. I think this is a great place to kind of end. I really love the fact that everyone is that the excitement meter is a little bit elevated more than it was before about the Boston Celtics. Let's see if they can do what they need to do to keep it elevated. So for Bob Kelly,
we gotta beat this guy.
Yeah, you got to go through LeBron. For those of you that aren't going to be watching this on YouTube, thanks for the podcast, you know.
I like those shoes.
But for Craig D'Alessandro, thank you so much for producing. The Real BK, Bob Kelly, thank you so much. And just on a personal note, based on what we talked about at the beginning of the show, Ray, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I know that we don't look like you, but we love you and we are here for you. None of this shit should be happening the way that it is. I'm sorry that it is. We are here with you. So for you and everyone else, thank you so much for listening to Missing the Point, and we'll talk to you later.
Are you a fan of classic cinema or a young person who wants to discover the best films of all time? Do these legendary movies still hold up?
On the Generation Film Podcast, two guys who grew up when movies dominated the culture share a great film with a panel of young movie lovers and see how it plays for today's generation.
We discuss changes in storytelling, styles, representation,
the making of each film, its initial reception, and how its meaning has changed over the years.
Join us as we explore cinema classics across generations on Generation Film.
Electric Acid.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where, through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric Acid.